presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Welcome this morning. That was beautiful worship. I thought that this morning that I probably should get us back on track just where we were going previously. But I thought that maybe it might be a good chance to talk about my 3 months of rest. Mostly rest. It wasn't really a whole 3 months of rest because we ended up having to say a proper farewell to Joan at the beginning of May. And so that was sad, but also at the same time, I think it was a celebration of her life and a celebration of her not being in pain anymore, because she was in quite a lot of pain towards the end. So I know that I needed to take a break. I know that I was starting to get overworked, or in our professional terms, burnt out, or it's actually called severe adjustment disorder. When people get to that point of burnout, and I know that I was working very hard at church work stuff, and I was working very hard in counselling space as well, because I run that for 3 days a week, and so I know I was getting overworked, however you want to say it, and that it was time to take a break. And that God wanted to do some stuff in me in that time. And so it was somewhat restful. The beginning of it was really, really hard, because I was trying to not come to church, as well as just letting go of things and letting Paul and Robbie take over things. That's really hard. Have you ever tried to give your job to somebody else? Yeah, Caleb has. he's like, yes to you. And so that was really hard. And there was lots of grieving kind of going on for me. And when I started to do that kind of grieving and pull back, I also realized that there was a whole heap of other stuff that I needed to grieve. And two of them are sitting right here, who left me to go to Adelaide. Our famous quote in the house is, from the movie, the Big Fat Greek Wedding. Who's watched that? If you haven't watched, you need to watch it, right? Okay, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, it's called. And it's in number 2, isn't it? Okay, so you have to watch the first one to make the second one make sense, okay? So there you go, I've given you some movies to watch. The mum says to her only daughter, who wants to go off to college, is like, and the sort of the way that the Greeks sort of talk is, why do you want to leave me? that's a common theme in our house. And so the three of them, like, because Hayden went, Hannah, who's actually the second oldest, and then Hayden, who's the oldest, and then Amy, number 3, gets to be in the middle. Katie has to stay. We told her she's... No, we haven't. We promised Katie that we would stop talking about what she's going to do for year 12, because that's after year 12, because that's becoming quite stressful for her. She just needs to work out what God wants her to do, and we will be with her in whatever that is. So I had to grieve, I think, 3 years of each child leaving over the 3-year process. And I just realized there was so much kind of going on for me, and that I had to just step back and just let God look after me. And one of the scriptures that he gave me, are you ready? Okay, Hannah got it right. It is Sword of the Lord. Who's played Sword of the Lord before? If you brought your Bible to church or your Bible app, get it out, get it ready now. Are we going to do apps versus physical Bible? Game on, Joe says. All right. Joe, are you the only person with your physical Bible? Who actually has their paper Bible with them? all right, Joe, you get to win every single time, right? Okay, so sword of the Lord is, okay, when I give you a when I give you this scripture and I've put it up on the screen, is you need to be the first to find it. You need to stand up and yell. Okay, you can yell like if the kids were doing it, that'd be excitable and yelling, right? So you can yell, or you could just say it quietly if you want, is sword of the Lord. If you do that, you get to chew something from my chocolate lolly jar. You don't look excited. Okay, all right. So here we go. Matthew 11:28. You get to do it because you're the only person with the Bible. Yeah. Oh, Carmela, do you have a... Oh, Carmela has one. She wasn't listening, maybe. All right. Who knows this scripture? We have actually shared it quite a few times. Sort of the Lord, people could read it out. For some reason, I put my bookmark in the wrong spot, but... Oh, no, I didn't. It's just... I don't trust my memory versing. Like, I know it by memory, but I don't trust it when you're standing up in front of everybody with the microphone. Okay. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This was one of the scriptures that when I started my break, I felt that God said, I want you to meditate on this and I'm going to show you some new stuff in this. And I at first was not really getting anything. I think that maybe my head was too full of other stuff and there wasn't a lot coming at me, and sort of towards the end of it, July, it was like this light bulb moment that God showed me. And I wasn't gonna talk about this today, but now I am. So it was, you know how the farmer had the yoke on their oxen. I used to, when God showed me that, when I was looking at that picture, that I was looking as Jesus as being the farmer. And so he was putting the yoke on me. When I stopped and God sort of showed me that Jesus is the other oxen next to me. And we both are carrying we both have the yoke on us. And we're going together. We're pulling together. And it was like just this beautiful moment of going, Jesus is with me. He's with me. Like it really just sat in my heart that I'm not trying to, like, Jesus is not standing over me going, come on, let's go. As you know, like the boss, like, you know, you've got to keep going. He's pulling with me. And when I don't have any more strength to pull, he always has strength. And it was just this weird sense of feeling like when Jesus is with me, he sees me, he sees him, God sees Jesus in me. And so it's like an equality, but it's not an equality. It's like I'm equal to Jesus, but I'm not. He treats me as though I'm equal to him. And he pulls me. He wants to pull along with me. And it's so hard to explain that in words because it kind of sat in my spirit. And I was trying to, like, how do you explain that feeling in words? That he's not lording it over me. He's not trying to control me. He's not trying to go, right, you will God work harder. He's going, come on, let's go do this together. So yeah, that was just something that just really just sat beautifully just in my heart and just like gave me more rest. When we think about doing things with Jesus, it changes the way that you walk, changes how you think about things and what you do next. I also pulled out this next scripture. Are you ready? Go, Joe. Do you want to read it in the microphone?
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
Thank you very much. Would you like to choose something else from the lolly jar? Oh, okay. Do you want a lollipop?
Yeah, the kids like that.
Look, Joe's hogging all the lollies. Did anyone from the Bible app have it first? Does anyone want to claim it? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when facing trials of many kinds. I mean, who wants to celebrate that, right? Joy. Doesn't always come with feelings of pure, elated happiness. There's this knowledge in knowing that God is our Saviour, that He loves us and that He wants to do life with us. And we take, you know, joy or get sort of some sense of peace from Him in that. And that's kind of how I started to look at it. Rather than, oh, yay. As Graham Cook says, you know, you might ring up your friend and say, hey, guess what? I've got a problem, you know, with your happy voice on. It's like, well, we don't always feel like that, do we? It doesn't always feel like that. And I know that, you know, like I just went to a social work professional development workshop, and it was quite interesting because the presenter talked about problems and said, well, let's start seeing problems as gems, as diamonds, as and I'm like, you, that sort of sounds like you're Christian, but you're probably not. But you know, like that's kind of like in that world they're saying, let's look at a problem as, you know, something that we can learn from and something that we can grow from and do differently from and all of that kind of stuff. And I think that this is kind of a bit like what God is saying to us. Like, when there's a problem come your way, how can that help you? How can that make you grow? How can that increase your faith? So in my time of resting and grieving and working out what God's direction was for me, this was one of the scriptures that kept coming back to me and has probably been, I suppose, a theme or a life scripture for me. Because it's on the back of our toilet door and has been for years and years, because I put scriptures on the back of the toilet door when the kids were little, because that's how I would read my Bible. my moment of peace and read my scripture. Consider it pure joy when you're facing trials of many kinds, like four of them. Oh, dear. Well, at least you guys laughed, you know. So some of this was also about, you know, working out what is God's direction for me personally. And that kind of ramped up a little bit, as you know, when sort of Caleb was doing some work placement stuff at the locksmith, and then he's like, well, I got offered a full-time job. And it's like, well, if you do that, you have to, you know, resign from church and, you know, what's kind of going to go on there? And do I have to be there for it? And I shouldn't be because I'm on leave. And when you're on leave in any other workplace, you don't go to work, right? And So it was just like, then I had to grieve probably along with you guys, but in a different way, and we all grieve differently. Is like, okay, Caleb's not going to, he's not like going to be doing that senior pastor role anymore. What does that mean for me? And so there's been lots of soul searching and lots of realizing that I'm not defined by my children. I love you very much, but, you know, that doesn't, you know, define me as a person. And being Caleb's wife doesn't define me as a person. But being a daughter of the Lord Most High defines me. And I felt like it gave me more just time just to spend with God and to know who I am in Him. And I don't have to be anybody I don't have to be anything. I just have to be me. And God loves that. And He loves me, whether I decided to come back and do pastoring or not. Like, He's just saying, I love you, no matter what decisions you make. But it's okay. In all of that, I felt that God had said, come back. Yes, keep working in this role. And I know that means, I think, with Caleb resigning, and I knew, like, there's so much going on in your head still about, you know, okay, what does church going to look like when I go back, and what am I supposed to do, and, you know, like, all of the work stuff. And I had to put all of that aside. So there was lots of learning to be self-controlled also in my thinking and in my mind, and just keep putting God there, and the other stuff had to come later when I was allowed to think about it. And yeah, I felt that God had said, yes, come back. And then in that time, I would watch Gateway Church on Mondays. And it was really strange one week. It was really short music. An elder got up and come and stood up and announced, or kind of like started this apology sort of thing, and basically announced that Pastor Robert Morris has basically had molested a 12-year-old girl in his 30s for 6 years, and had covered it over by saying that he had had indiscretions in his past with a young lady. And so it's kind of strange. Like, I'm far away from them. They're in America, but I'm watching this almost every week, this church. And I know that we've probably put on some of Pastor Robert Morris's sermons here. And it was like another hit. Like, whoa, like, here is another pastor falling on and has hidden stuff and hasn't been, you know, genuine in who they are. And that was also part of my thinking process and stuff, and watching some of the stuff about it and seeing their theme is, we're all about people. Because God loves people, that's their vision. And it made me stop and really think about how important it is to have genuine leaders, and how important it is to be just honest with people. And I suppose that's probably one of the reasons why I'm like, okay, I just want to be honest with you. I just want to go, here's what my last 3 months have been. But also wanted to kind of go, the vision that God has given us for this church, I look at Gateway's vision being all about people, but I want us to be all about Jesus. That's like, can I say that again? And can I get a reaction? Like, we want our church to be all about Jesus. Yes. we want to be Jesus focused, right? We want to be focused on Him and what He's doing in us. And so it brought me back to our vision of where I left off, where we sort of started at the beginning of the year, and it felt like it cemented this for me as to what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go. I'll just give some wonderful credit to Hannah, who designed this. Now she's sitting here. Jesus working in, for, and through us. And we've been focusing a bit on Jesus working in us, for quite some time. And when I was working on these phrases, I had everything spread out all over my kitchen table, because that's how I like to work, and I had all these bits of paper with like everything all over it. I like this random, you know, messy kind of way of working things out. Who's with me? Yeah, thank you. Okay. Who are all the sequentials? Wanted to be in order and nice and neat. And as I was looking at it all, it was just like the Holy Spirit just came on me and just went, a triangle, because we're starting here really sort of close and insular, and we're going to build it out, and we're going to reach out to other people. And I didn't actually put it on the next slide, but reaching out is at the bottom of my triangle at home, or reaching out to others. And so, like, we don't do a lot outside of us here. Agreed? We have a few sort of missions, but we're not really reaching our community. And so I know that eventually there's going to be more of that kind of going to happen for us as we work through some of the steps of the triangle. There you go, sequential for you sequential people. See, there is some order to it. But like as we're talking to each other about our testimonies and about our stories, we are building connection within here. But also what we're doing is we're learning how to share what Jesus has done in us with other people. Because it's not easy to stand up here with a microphone, is it? All of those who have done it already. It's nerve-wracking, it's hard, and also it's a little bit vulnerable. Because you're sharing stuff about yourself and where you've been and where you've gone. So if you still haven't done that, sharing your story and about how you've gotten to know Jesus and where you're at, and you know, maybe there's been a defining moment of I gave my life to Jesus, or maybe there's just been this journey, then feel free to share it. And it can be short or it can be long. Or you can write it down, and I'm quite happy to read it for you. If you want to, there's no pressure. If you want to share that with other people, because I know it's vulnerable and it can be hard, and maybe you're not ready for that. But are you enjoying hearing each other's stories?
Yes.
Sure. Can you say it in the microphone so everyone can hear you?
Also, since I did share first part of my story, really incredible things have been happening in my life, which I will actually probably share again at some point. But I just wanted to encourage anyone that's kind of sitting on the fence and in that place of fear going like, I can't do that. Don't miss this opportunity, because the power that's come out of me standing up and saying what happened has been like off the charts crazy. Now I'm just looking at this, we're moving into the next part, and if you don't get on board with the thing that God is doing right now, it's harder to get on at the next level. So find a way to get in the mix.
Thanks. And I remember sort of when you first came and joined us, and I said, oh, do you want to do anything like speaking up front? And you're like, no. You were like, no way. And then she does her testimony, and now she's talking in the microphone to you twice today. Yay, go Joe. But the point of it, are you ready with your Bibles? Oh, come on, there's lots of lollies and chocolates to give away. Oh, Bibi wants one. Katie's got it. All right, Katie, do you want to read it in the microphone?
Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.
Thank you, Katie. Was there a... Well, it's between Carmela and Joe. Were you... No? Not playing? Okay. This is what has been, I suppose, titled in churches as the Great Commission. Have you heard that before? Yes, I expect that you would have, Pastor Caleb. So go out into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There's so much more to that, though, isn't there? Like, that's the one that we go, you know, go out into all nations, like, start, like, getting other people to know who Jesus is. But there's also the second part, which is teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we have a responsibility to share our faith with other people. But we also have a responsibility to go further than that and to be teaching people what the Word of God says. That He's a loving God and that He cares for us and that He wants the best for us. And all of those things that I think are so important, that bring love and peace and joy into people's lives. And that, you know, there are those moments where it's good to help people to be directed into, I mean, away from sin. But the last thing that we want to do is we don't want to be the judges. We don't want to be the people who are judging others and bringing them down and turning them away from God because we're not loving them just for who they are and where they're at. Let's make sure that we're doing that in a loving way. There's so much more to say on that, but I'm not gonna go into all of that because, you know, there's so many things to say on that. So that's where we've been with four. How about another scripture? 1 Peter 3:15. Go, BB. Do you want to read it out? If someone asks you, what is your hope? Always be ready to give an answer. Who's there? Yeah, Elizabeth's like, yep. A few of us. Why do you go to church? Why do you believe in Jesus? And that's what we've been talking about, is, you know, Jesus working in us and being able to start to spread that and to talk to other people about that. So, together, as a church, Bethel Family Church, working in unity, we can begin to get to that next stage of reaching out. And we come here and we worship together, and then we go to work. And we see people and we do things and do we share what God has done in your life? Do you share that either verbally or do you share that in just your actions, in who you are, in how you conduct yourself, in your integrity? We are going to move on to four, but I think while we're talking about how God is working for us, we are still going to share our testimonies. And I thought there might be like this place where I go, okay, that was finished, and then it's like it doesn't feel finished, and so I'm going to be flexible and just like go, like, if there are still people who want to share their stories, we'll still be doing that together. You know, my story and understanding of what Jesus has done for me will help me to connect with others. We're going to talk about what Jesus has done for us. There is so much that he has done for us. Before I keep going on to that, I just want to check if there's anything I have missed. All right. In talking about what Jesus has done for us, I wanted to share some communion together. Because that is where we need to start. Is Jesus, he took all of our sin upon himself. And he went to the cross and he died. So I just want to be able to just now together even reflect on that. So we're going to hand out some communion. Do you have some people who are ready to do that, Hayley? So let's just get that handed out. And while that's happening, there was one more scripture that came up in the service that Caleb actually brought up from Romans. And it reminded me that this is the scripture theme of this Jesus working for us. you can have something from the lolly jar. Does anybody... Oh, there's a lolly for anyone who knows what that scripture reference is. Go on, Jade. You know it, don't you? When God is working for us, do you know it? What's the scripture reference? Oh. Tell everyone so they can look it up. Romans 8:28. I'll say it loud for Jada. Jada knows it. Okay, so yes, let's look for Romans 8:28. Oh, it's actually verse 31. While you're getting your communion, I will read this scripture out. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He's for us. He's not against us. He sent his son Jesus to die for us, to wipe us clean of everything that we have ever done wrong in our whole entire lives, even the days that we haven't had yet. And so as we reflect and we take this today, I just want you to reflect on that for yourself, that what he has done for you, he has saved you, he has forgiven you. And as you think about that forgiveness, he's given you the capacity in your heart to forgive others as well for the things that they have done to wrong you. And we trust that when we forgive others, that he holds us in his hand and he protects us and he loves us and he cares for us. Because letting go of what other people have done to us can be so hard. So just right now, just let you have a moment to take your bread. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the blood that you poured out for us, that blood that covers over all sin. It's by the blood of Jesus that we are saved. It's by the blood of Jesus that there is freedom by the blood of Jesus, there is protection from the enemy. That by the blood of Jesus, you have made us clean and white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Take your cup if you like. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. As we finish up, our music team, this row can move back onto the stage. I did actually ask Hannah if she would put Waymaker on her list, because Jesus is working. He's working here in this place. He's working in your hearts. He's working in your homes. And he's bringing us unity all together. He's brought us together. And as we talk about Jesus working in us, Jesus working for us, and Jesus working through us, I want our underlying theme for all of that to be unity, is to coming together and looking out for each other and loving one another and knowing what Jesus has done for us, and to be able to let his gentleness be in our hearts and be in our mouths as we speak to one another. So thank you, guys. Let's sing that song together.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.